Hello and welcome to another edition of the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. First, let's wish you a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone, from Dave and myself, Tim Dennis. We hope that your Christmas was filled with love and happiness and friends and family, and that you get a little extra today from Dave and myself. We're gonna imbue you with laughter, a little bit of laughter, a little bit of paranormal news, a little bit of parashare, and hopefully a smile on your face, a little something extra for this Christmas holiday. You know, one of the most requested repeats we get asked for, one of the most requested encore presentations we get asked for, is the Margarita Monday episode. Dave doesn't see the reason for it. He's gone back and listened to it and thought, nah, you know, he, to be honest with you, he thinks it's kind of junk. I listened to it and I think it's funny. So what I did is I went back and I grabbed it. I figured, all right, you guys want it, you're going to get it. It's the original Margarita Monday episode. And the part that everybody finds so funny is the initial drinking while doing the news part of the episode. Now, let me set this up for you one more time. We've kind of told this story before, but here's kind of what happened. We got into work to record Monday's episode of Parashare. Now, at work, we were doing a Cinco de Mayo party, but at the same time, I believe there was an NCAA tournament party as well. So the entire spread was put on. Not only was it a potluck and food, but the company had provided liquor. And, of course, it was free. And what do you do when you get a bunch of radio people around liquor? Well, we imbibe until we can't see straight. So we decided, hey, it'd be kind of fun to, you know, imbibe until we couldn't talk straight and do, you know, an episode of Supernatural News. Why not? So, you know, we decided to try it. And this is what you got. So the first part of today's program is the what we affectionately call Cinco de Nino part of Supernatural News. The second part is your parashare, your phone calls, and your emails of parashare. So let's get into it, shall we? The most requested encore of the week, and we are going to be doing encore episodes all holiday week. So the most requested encore of the week, here is Margarita Monday, Cinco de Nino, here on Beyond the Darkness.
Good evening, welcome. This is the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. Darkness Radio is on the air. I'm Dave, that's Tim, and, well, we're having margaritas during the show.
Yeah.
Well, it was nice of a listener to send us up a bottle of margaritas.
A little late for Cinco de Mayo, but we'll take it on the night.
I didn't know that they made margaritas already pre-made with the tequila in them, my friend.
Yeah.
This is Gustav. I'm not going to lie to you.
Technology is a wonderful mistress.
I think I should do this show this way all of the time.
So you can get complaints from activist groups?
Sure. Yes, why not? Who's going to complain about a guy drinking margaritas talking in a faux Spanish-Mexican accent? If they got that kind of free time on their hands, they have other problems to worry about.
The faux Spaniard Association is going to have a big problem with
that. I'm going to have to slow down. This is my second one, and I'm already feeling like I'm out there.
I can make for a good show.
Well, I don't know about that, especially when I have to do reading in the next 2 hours, man. It's a lot of reading. Words is hard enough when you haven't got a lot of tequila in you, Tim.
God, I want to watch Cheech and Chong right now really bad.
All right, let's get started. Supernatural news and a Parashare Monday. What does that mean to you? Well, it means that you can listen to the news, and then we'll talk about Parashare, where you can call in or email in your stories. Probably do a lot of the emails. I'm so far behind on emails. How about that? Let's just close off phones tonight, Tim.
We could do that.
Close out the phones. We don't need no phones. We ain't got no phones. We don't need no stinking phones, Tim. Let's just read all the emails that we've gotten in over the last couple of months that I've not been able to get through.
You can do that,
And do that, because I feel like I want to give those people a voice. I know they get irritated when we don't read them. Yeah. Some nights are great. We get so many calls. How do you not take live callers?
I don't know.
So if we just shut off the phones, then I don't have to know about the calls we're missing.
Yeah, true.
All right, let's get started with some supernatural news, man. What you got for me?
Well, big...
I'm going to go to hell.
Big shock here, Pepe. there's a...
You can call me Felipe.
All right, Felipe. Mm-hmm. I will.
Is it better if I to talk to you like this, my friend? There we go.
Yeah, very much so.
My Antonio Banderas.
I don't know if I can concentrate.
I can't blame you. All right.
NASA, believe it or not, is covering stuff up again.
What?
Yeah.
NASA.
I know. They're not very good at it, evidently. Yeah. The agency has been caught hiding an alien UFO.
What?
That was spotted near the sun behind a black square, according to a blogger.
There's a little black square on the sun today.
That's his soul up there.
It's the same old thing as yesterday.
That's his soul up there.
It's my soul? My soul's a black square up on the sun?
No, the blogger.
Oh, okay.
Talking about the blogger, of course. According to a UFO blogger, NASA officials are up to their old tricks again. This time, NASA's being called upon to explain the presence of a mysterious giant black square or cube.
It's the Borg.
It probably is.
Obvi.
That's
what the kids are saying, obvi.
They are saying that?
Really? I don't know.
Either.
I don't pay attention to my kids.
Yeah, why? I mean, all they do
so
is...
So much chattering.
Whine and want stuff.
That's
true.
Yeah.
This cube has been spotted apparently in orbit around the sun in an image. In an image... I can talk. Another margarita, please. I'll take another one over here. Taken by the Solar Heliospheric Observatory, or the SOHO spacecraft. That's what the kids are calling it, Dave.
Okay.
Take a drink. I screwed up a word. According to the UFO blogger Scott Waring, who reported the discovery in a post to his blog on May 4th, 2016, NASA is using a black cube to cover up an alien spacecraft that appeared in a SOHO image of the sun. It was very artistic, Dave. I don't know if you know that. That's typical of SOHO.
Okay.
Yeah. Alien hunters say that the giant black cube covering a section of the image is yet another evidence of NASA scheming to hide evidence of alien UFO spacecraft. This is not the first time that alien hunters claim to have caught NASA red-handed concealing evidence of UFOs behind black squares and cubes. Waring spotted a black patch in a SOHO image of the sun earlier in 2011, and because he could tell that the black patch was not a UFO, he concluded it was the product of effort by an artless NASA technician to hide an alien UFO spaceship.
What they're saying is the little black spot on the sun is just them not even taking the chance to, like, Photoshop the rest of the sun back onto that little spot.
It was an artless technician, Dave, an art school dropout.
What is a UFO getting that close to the sun for?
It's warm there, Dave, and they can suntan.
They must be traveling from Minnesota.
They ain't afraid of no skin cancer. No. While hiding UFOs behind black squares and cubes appears a rather crude and clumsy way for a high-tech agency to cover up alien UFOs appearing in space images, Scott Waring and fellow alien hunters claim that such cat-and-mouse games, Dave, with NASA have been going on for years. Oh, yes.
It's despicable.
It's Newman and Seinfeld all over again.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. The UFO hunter reports that he discovered this latest scandalous cover-up attempt while looking at NASA images at SOHO EIT 284, asked for it by name, on May 2nd. Second, he claims to have caught NASA using the same crude trick in the past. Those crafty devils.
NASA.
Yeah. He said
they've got billions of dollars at their expense, but they can't Photoshop a picture of the moon.
Well, that's time.
Do you find that that's problematic to you?
They're not paying overtime over there.
I'm being the skeptic here.
I know. Well,
margaritas do that to me, Tim.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Guess who's getting margaritas on a daily basis?
Making me question things, Tim. I will have another morning greeta and a cup of cuppy for my friend Tim.
Thank you. Waring says this cube has been seen off and on. It's a reappearing cube. Sometimes it's seen in three dimensions. Other times it's just like two. The ufologist writes in a recent post on UFO Sightings Daily. UFO enthusiasts contributed various opinions on Waring's blog. I never thought about NASA using the black cube to cover up something since we've seen it so many times, but in a way they kind of conformed it for us, the enthusiast wrote.
Conformed it?
Yeah.
Is that a word, conformed?
I'm sorry, confirmed it.
There you go.
Take a drink. Perfect.
I think if we do the drinking game for our own selves, we're in a lot of trouble tonight, son.
We are done. Another person wrote, black cube over your junk. It's been done before. No,
what?
I'm kidding. That was my own. Another argued that NASA would likely use less obvious methods if the intention was to cover up UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, if NASA wanted to cover up UFOs, they would have just blended it in the background like as if nothing was there. Why would they put an obvious big black box up
there? Come on.
Yeah. There's a little black box on the sun today,
said Robin Givens.
Robin Givens?
It's an old joke, remember? She would post for Playboy. Waring is not the only one who accused NASA of airbrushing photos to remove alien UFOs and other anomalies. UFO hunters have claimed hundreds of sightings of alien UFOs and images of the sun captured by cameras on board the SOHO spacecraft parked near Point L1 in space, which you can be charged for double parking on certain hours, only in rush hour. And by going by the questionable claims of UFO hunters, there must be thousands of massive alien. I just felt like Foster Brooks right there. And the questionable
like Bill
claims.
Murray there. I mean,
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby. Yeah.
Oh, I could have a Cosby in my hand and not a Cosbo.
Pardon me?
I could have a Cosbo.
I
have another one of these. I might have a Cosby in my hand.
I think we need to scrap tonight's show. Let's just go to a rerun.
It may be a Cosbo and not a margarita. The alleged alien UFO traffic. Did I skip a paragraph? I believe I might have. The alleged alien UFO traffic through our inner solar is so heavy that many observers have opined that a reasonable explanation would be that a major interstellar highway passes through our inner solar system and that alien interstellar ships often stop over at the sun to harvest energy in the same way that a car pulls into a gas station to refuel. I wonder if they get the windows washed. Is it full service or self-service?
I think I'm going to call beep.
You're going to call who?
Beep, beep.
Oh.
Oh.
Beep.
Oh,
I just don't
believe it.
I was like, who's beep and why are we calling him?
I don't know. They get close to the sun to soak up the energy. Come on.
Refueling the ship, Dave.
Come on.
Yeah.
Solar energy. Can't they do it from a safer distance like Venus?
I would think, yeah. Well. We heard all about Venus the other night. But as expected, skeptics scoff at such a fanciful notion.
Fanciful notion, I say. Scoffing.
But it would be a mistake to imagine that alien and UFO hunters are only trying to be funny when they push outlandish claims about a galactic environment teeming with spacefaring technological civilizations.
Did you hurt your tongue saying all that, son?
I sprained my epiglottis. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but it's tough. The Inquisitor reported on March 5th that alien hunters raised an alarm, saying that massive alien UFOs purportedly swarming around our sun are a threat to life and human civilization due to uncontrolled harvesting of energy and other resources from the sun. Later in the same month, UFO hunters raised an alarm once again that swarms of massive... I feel like I should read this in old-timey voice. Later in the same month, the UFO hunters raised an alarm once again that swarms of massive alien UFOs spotted in SOHO images orbiting our sun could shorten its lifespan by sucking up all its energy. This is a long story.
That is one story.
Several former employees of NASA, contractors, top scientists, and military personnel have come forward to claim that NASA regularly conceals evidence of UFOs and extraterrestrial intelligence. The conviction among UFO conspiracy theorists that NASA and the government are hiding evidence of aliens and UFOs and even entered into secret military technological alliances with certain alien races, such as the Greys, is strengthened by the testimony of former NASA employees and contractors such as Donna Hare, who have volunteered disclosures. Donna Hare is a former NASA contractor, by the way, testified before the National Press Club a few years back that she saw NASA photos showing massive and elaborate artificial structures on the Lunar Far Side. Lunar Far Side, that's my favorite rap group, by the way. She also claimed to have obtained from NASA staff members hushed up information about UFOs that were spotted landing on the moon just before an Apollo moon landing.
Welcome back to the show. It is a Supernatural News start to the show. Timmy Dennis sitting over at the old Supernatural News desk, sipping on a margarita.
Yep.
Margarita by morning. Isn't that a song or something like that?
Isn't that Kiss an Angel Good Morning with margarita breath? And
I don't know. Sounds like a bunch of Supernatural baloney to me.
Bedhead or something like
that?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we should continue on with the news.
Yeah, have you got some?
Yeah, I do.
Right, what have you got for me?
A small ghost-busting company is investigating paranormal places.
Okay.
Now, you may say that's not unusual, Tim.
That's not unusual. That's not unusual to be found on our show.
That's true. All right. I got to admit, I don't know what the hook is to this deal, but it's an Audio Daily Double.
Okay.
So we'll go to it now and find out what exactly the story is.
But
a story.
For one company, though, those stories are its business. Fox 43's Chris Hoffman spoke to the paranormal investigators in Franklin County.
Images like this are what Balefire Paranormal Investigation is called to see.
This picture was taken right after I felt something hit me in the back of the knee, and the two other people that were with me heard the heard footsteps running and a child laughing.
The company was investigating a building at Slippery Rock University in Western Pennsylvania.
This is more of a, the white stuff is more of a primordial mist. That's the mist I was talking about. The colors, we could not explain them at all.
This is the only building the couple John and Christina Lewis have certified as haunted.
We have never certified anybody else as, from our research and investigation, as haunted.
The company has been around for about 20 years. They research and investigate scenes, but that doesn't always mean they're going to find a ghost.
Ghost hunting's like fishing. You can be out there for 5 minutes and catch a lot. You can be out there for 4 or 5 hours and catch nothing.
He says paranormal activity can happen during the daylight. It's just easier to find it at night.
We do investigations at night because usually it's more of a calmer environment. Everyone's more at peace, and there's not as much commotion going on.
In Southampton Township, Franklin County, Chris Hoffman, Fox 43 News.
That guy had exactly three more teeth than I do, Dave. Just say.
And it's not nice. He's a listener.
Oh, he is?
I don't know.
Oh. Way to psych me out, man. I'm getting all paranoid after the margarita.
So, there's ghosts, and I sometimes are seen during the day.
And paranormal investigating is a lot like fishing, Dave. Sometimes you get drunk and think about throwing yourself in the water.
I
never
got sunburned while ghost hunting.
No?
No. Fishing, yes.
Yeah.
Again, another reason not to go outdoors.
And the other thing about paranormal investigating, you don't have to bait your own hook.
Oh, good.
Just saying.
Well, I wouldn't mind if I'm with you. You're a master baiter.
Well, I am, yeah.
I always know the right bait for the right fish.
I've been known to know my way around a worm, you know, and be able to handle it just fine. So.
That is true.
Yeah, it solves many a lonely night.
What else do we have on the docket for news?
Well, let's switch it up. Let's go to a UFO story, shall we? We'll go to Preston, where a UFO spotter has captured a four-legged alien.
A four-legged alien?
A four-legged one, Dave.
What?
That's two more. We normally call it a dog or a cat.
A what?
But, it's a four-legged alien after meditating for 9 months. Now, that's a long time to be wishing on an alien. But, it's one of those things. A man claims to have seen a four-legged alien after spending 9 months meditating throughout the night in his back garden to summon extraterrestrials. A garden, by the way, is British for a garden. So I don't know if you know
Thank
that.
Thank you for the translation.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, America.
I wish they just speak English over there.
I know, right? I mean, if they spoke the King's English, we wouldn't have to translate on the show. 47-year-old Zed Khan from Catforth, Preston.
What's his name?
Zed Khan.
That is the coolest name ever.
Khan!
No, it's Zed Khan.
It is, yeah.
Kneel before Zed.
Oh, do you think his parents were thinking of that?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, Zed Khan.
He's 47. That would have been pre-Superman.
Zed Khan. Zed Khan. Let me wreck you. Let me wreck you. Zed Khan. Zed Khan, you're all I want to do. Let me wreck you. I got nothing.
Want to feel for you. Feel for you. Baby, when I look at you.
Is that like the black version of being Rickrolled?
I think it Chaka is. Yeah. Yes, it is. Right. It is. She's very famous for that. Zed Khan from Catforth, Preston, managed to capture the mysterious object on camera at 6 a.m. last Saturday. That's mighty early to be up on a Saturday. Speaking to UFO Sightings Daily, he said, I've been meditating through the night for about 9 months now to try and communicate with extraterrestrials, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw something appear. It was only... What? It wasn't the way I read it.
The corner of her eye, she saw something appear.
Yeah.
It's so ominous. What did she see appear to me?
It was only for a few seconds, but luckily I had my phone ready and managed to get a shot of it before it disappeared a few seconds later.
All right.
Which is unusual because no one
Typical
ever has
a male ghost.
Yeah, phone ready. It's a UFO. It could be the ghost of a UFO. Let's combine the two and we'll call it even.
I seriously need to not drink during a show ever.
I guess not.
Easily distracted.
That's kind of a ghost. said the object, which he claimed floated above the trees, didn't look how he thought otherworldly beings would look, because it probably was supposed to look like a ghost.
That don't look like no UFO to me.
No, it doesn't. He continued, it was weird because normally you expect them to be a disc shape. Let me enunciate properly. But this appears to have had four legs.
There's some that have looked like a cigar.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar cake.
Yeah, that's what Groucho always told us.
That's right. He said, I think it might be part organic and part machine, although some people have said it looks like the alien from Alien vs. Predator.
Really?
Who evidently looked like a cigar as well.
I guess so.
I guess.
I don't remember that part of the show.
I don't either. That might have been an offshoot of Alien vs. Predator you get in the adults only section. Yeah. I wouldn't say that it, as...
Alien versus Predator.
And, yes.
Shut up.
I wouldn't say that as it's very negative, and I'd like to be positive about what it is, said Zed Kahn. Zed is a keen follower of American ufologist Stephen Greer.
Of course he is, with a name like Zed Kahn. What else would you follow?
I don't know. Needlepoint?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Nope. Okay. Zed's a keen follower of American ufologist Stephen Greer, who founded the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and shares his views that meditation is all about gaining insight. He says it really is all about enlightenment. The meditation allows us to communicate with them. Zed admits some people will struggle to believe that he saw a life form from another planet. I don't think anyone who isn't open-minded will understand, he said. Lots of people are skeptics. In an effort, I kind of want to crawl inside your head right now and figure out what part I read wrong.
I don't know. It's just all weird.
All weird. You've given up on life now. Three margaritas, and you're like, I'm
done. Every story is weirder than the one before.
In an effort to encourage other alien hunters, Scott Waring of UFO Sightings Daily.
Oh, my God, Scott Waring again.
Who's in every paranormal story that's ever published.
When it comes to UFOs, yeah.
Yeah. Said just one thing. Meditation works, but you need patience. A lot like fishing, Dave. You need patience there, too. This guy tried it, and eventually it worked. 9 months is a long time to wait. Tell that to a pregnant woman.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, not so much.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. I suppose we have time for one more before we go to break.
If we must.
If we must. Let's see which story will come up first. Me, the wonderful pewter series. I heard media, Dave. They don't so work well.
Not so much.
No. Let's go to the world of sports, Dave. One of the things we don't do enough of on this show is sports. You know why?
Because we're a paranormal show.
Well, there's that little setback.
What
but other
else?
Than that, take a drink. I read wrong in the last story. I believe it's, oh my gosh, I am not an Angels fan, so I have no idea how he pronounces his name, but I believe it is Ji-Man Choi. You may correct me by email multiple times if you'd like. Doesn't want to stay in Milwaukee's Pfister Hotel any longer than he has to. Now, we've talked about the Pfister in past episodes. I know what you're thinking. Listen here, Captain Low-Hanging Fruit. I used to play Pfister back in college. It was a wonderful game, but it always had a hurtful outcome. All right, but seriously, the Pfister Hotel. Pfister Hotel, I barely got into it
first.
Okay. Ji-Man Choi doesn't want to stay in that hotel to be named later.
Daddy will be coming home soon, kids.
Probably with a pink slip. The Los Angeles Angels first baseman had a spooky encounter Sunday night.
We all do.
Oh, my.
When you're dealing with the Pfister.
Are you braced for this next line?
No.
When he says he felt a ghost while trying to sleep.
Okay.
I'll let you guess where he tried to feel it.
So he felt a ghost. A ghost while he was trying to sleep at the Pfister?
Yes, at the Pfister.
Okay.
Not that the creepy experience was nothing new for the Korean rookie. Evidently, he's a big fan of the Pfister.
Oh.
He said, I've seen...
It takes a certain time.
He said, I've seen ghosts plenty of times, Choi said Monday through his interpreter, Jay Park.
What's his name?
It's Jay Park.
What was the Jit part?
I was thinking it was a Je and not a Je, but it is just Jay Park. I
wait, the name Jay threw you?
I Jud instead of Judd, Dave. I should have just Judd and not Jud, but it was the Pfister that got me.
It always is.
It is. The 24-year-old recalled a moment after back surgery in 2011. Oh, that's when you're most prone and vulnerable to the Pfister, where he was sure he was awoken by a nasty poltergeist on his chest.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's so many punchlines.
Yes.
I was scared at first, Choi said, so I didn't want to open my eyes. I dealt with that a lot more times after that. So it was a recurring deal. The Pfister Hotel has had a haunting reputation in the past couple of years, with several Major League Baseball players saying they've witnessed paranormal activity during their stays. Choi said he's used to these so-called episodes at this point. Choi joked, "I hope it's a girl." Nah, just kidding. You know, I've dealt with it so many times, I don't really care anymore. We used to call that college, Mr. Choi. College. Whoever the ghost was, it may have gotten into the first baseman's head. Choi was brought in as a pinch hitter against the Milwaukee Brewers.
On Monday, I bet he was. But he couldn't muster a hit, Dave. Why?
So many reasons.
He also stranded the bases loaded in his only at-bat. So congratulations, G-Man Choi. You two have been a victim of the Pfister.
It's like the worst supervillain name ever.
It is. Bow before the Pfister.
Oh, God. I hope nobody's listening tonight.
Well, there might be. Mm.
All right. We need to take a break. I feel like we've been going for a long time.
We have been.
All right. All right. Hold tight, folks. We'll be back with more serious supernatural news right after this. Good evening and welcome back to the most serious of paranormal radio shows. It's Supernatural News Night on Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Tim, where in the world shall we go next for Supernatural News?
I believe we'll transverse across the world and go to Australia.
Australia. Down under, as I like to say.
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a Pfister down under.
Dave, this is serious now. We're serious journalists.
Focus.
As of this segment.
Yes.
It turns out, Dave, that there are alien carp set to destroy Australian rivers.
What?
And the one thing that can stop it, Dave?
Schwarzenegger.
Nope.
Van Damme.
Nope.
Stallone.
Nope.
Danny Glover.
What has he ever been able to stop?
Predator 2. He was in Predator 2.
Oh, all right. Oh, no, it's not him.
Okay.
It's herpes, Dave.
What?
I don't know if you've ever been told that before, and I'm not going to speculate.
Herpes has stopped a lot of conversations before.
It turns out that alien carp have invaded a river in Australia, and by gosh, the only way to kill them off, herpes.
What?
Yes. They call it Carpageddon down under. And I believe there's solutions for that you can find on TV as well.
How about if we catch them? Can we try that before we start giving fish herpes?
It's a lot of harvesting, Dave. It's a lot of man hours.
Oh, man. But couldn't you eat fish? Why do you want to give fish herpes?
Because everyone deserves a cold sore in their life. I have no idea. Hmm. A Carpageddon is coming. That's what the Australian government has said, and they've announced.
I'm getting it. It's Carpageddon.
Yes, you're getting it if you're eating it out of that river. That didn't sound right either. The Australian government has announced a $15 million plan.
Nobody wants to go down under to get some herpes-ridden fish.
No, they don't. Thank you. The Australian
government, please save the show, please.
Announced a $15 million plan to release a herpes virus into the rivers in a bid to wipe out the country's most notorious fish pest.
We interrupt this broadcast to please ask you to tune in next hour when we promise to have things reined in under control.
In the meantime, Dave, I found a new rap name, Notorious Fish Pest.
Notorious Fish Pest?
Yes.
As your first album, Carp with Herpes?
No, actually.
That doesn't really roll off the tongue, so I wouldn't advise that one.
It shouldn't be on your tongue to begin with. The first name of the first album is this Infected?
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's what I'll call it.
Infected to you.
Yeah. Carp have decimated native Australian fish populations since their introduction in 1859, particularly in the Murray-Darling River system, where they now make up 80% of fish numbers. Scientists at CSIRO, they call it CIRO because they're Italian in Australia. Sure. Australia's national research body have spent the last 7 years investigating the potential of a carp-specific herpes strain. Wow, that is a name.
Carp-specific herpes strain.
Yes, only the carp get it.
How do you think they found up? Right. How did they figure that out is what I want to know.
A lonely scientist and a lot of lab time, Dave. That's how they figured it out. The name of the carp-specific herpes strain is Saprinid Herpes Virus 3.
That doesn't roll off the tongue either.
I think Eddie Murphy had that in Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah. To fight off the invaders, rigorous testing has shown, and it was rigorous, by the way, has shown that the virus kills between 70 and 80% of carp populations, but does not harm native fish species or yabbies, eels, chickens, mice, frogs, turtles, or water dragons, all of which may be in the water at the same time.
No.
Yeah.
Who, what? Herpes. Who thought herpes was the way to go to wipe out a fish population?
I just thought of this. You know, in the other room right now, Stan Poggle is recording the outdoor show. Yes. I should send him the story.
Yes, you should. This is bizarre.
I bet you this is like a whole hour-long topic on the outdoor show.
Oh, my God. Unreal.
Fish and their herpes-ridden carp.
Right.
The government announced on Sunday that Cyprinid Herpes Virus 3 will be released into the Murray-Darling River system by the end of 2018. So please, no naked swimming in the river. As you can imagine, there's a lot of work to be done in preparation, Science Minister Christopher Pine told a press conference on Sunday.
I love him as the new Captain Kirk.
Oh, you know, he's supposed to be Steve Trevor in the new Wonder Woman.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
Not the same Christopher Pine, I'm guessing.
No, probably not. Because suddenly there will be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of tons of carp that will be dead.
You think that's the way we'll handle aliens if they actually ever invade? We'll just give them herpes?
I'll give it to them one at a time.
You will personally?
No, not me. Wait a minute. I mean, you know, I'll appoint somebody.
Wow.
Alien-specific herpes.
I feel uncomfortable knowing you right now.
No, I am not that unclean. Seriously.
Not that unclean.
Well,
thank you for the slight
I shower occasionally and, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it takes about 24 hours from the first sign of disease until they die, according to Ken McCall of CIRO. However, with any virus, resistance is likely to build up over time. So, yes, there is a cure for herpes and carp. I know you were concerned. We'll probably have a window of about 2 to 4 years to really take advantage of it. Not the carp, the herpes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. The carp control plan will be the first example of a biocontrol strategy that uses a herpes virus, but the potential risks to human are small. Small, Dave. Not
small?
Big. They're
okay.
Small. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily going to get...
I don't like that chance at all, period. Yeah.
Well,
it should be zero.
Cyprinid Herpes Virus 3. Just remember that phrase in case you've been swimming in an Australian river and the doctor wants to see you.
I'm going to put myself down as not going outside, period, in Australia next time.
There you go. Cyprinid Herpes Virus 3 has not caused any adverse effect in carp farmers in countries like China and Vietnam, where many native carp populations have been infected since the virus first appeared in the late 1990s. He says it's almost like they're taunting us now.
I think so.
Yeah. The virus also has a low risk of mutating and jumping to other species, because it is a complex DNA virus rather than an RNA virus or recombinant DNA.
Does it worry you that they're so focused on viruses to wipe out species?
Yeah. Especially, well, I'm just
that
thinking.
Long pause.
Well, you know, because the next two they bring up are Ebola and influenza.
Ebola.
Ebola.
Leaky boom. You'll end up with a leaky boom boom.
Well, you will if you get that carp virus. The Ebola or influenza, neither of which you could probably pick up during sex. You could probably get the influenza, but not the Ebola, I think. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people in America with Ebola.
No, thankfully.
Yeah. So McCall says, in this way, carp herpes is similar to, oh, that is a long word, myxomatosis?
Sure.
Yeah. Another complex DNA virus that has been used successfully and safely in Australia to control rabbit numbers. So they're just basically giving all their animals herpes.
Filled with like things that can kill you. Can't they just like predatorize like a spider to go
or
after
a snake.
The rabbits?
Yeah, just go get them.
Oh.
Instead of, you know, herpes.
Herpes and...
And think about it. Rabbits go to town.
Yeah. Gonorrhea. Rabbit gonorrhea.
That stuff will spread in an hour.
Yeah, well...
Kill the entire rabbit population.
Silly rabbits. Except for kids.
That's right. Nevertheless, even the most comprehensive testing can rule out the...
Hey, what's up, Doc?
That could have been something totally different. Even the most comprehensive testing cannot rule out the unforeseeable problem, says Richard Kingsford of the University of New South Wales. I think it's a great idea, but I guess it's a lot like it's like a lot of these tricky biological control approaches. There are always risks, and with that, I'm taking a drink.
All right, where are we sitting? Do we need a break?
I
know I do.
You know what? We still have a good minute or two left.
All right. Let's see if we can find a good minute.
Well, Dave, you know, we're celebrating Cinco de Mayo a little late.
Yes, we are.
So we might as well.
Cinco de Nino.
It is Cinco de Nino today, isn't it?
I'm pretty proficient in my Spanish.
Well, I see that. Yeah, it's too bad I flunked out for speaking German.
It'd be Nino de Mayo, right?
Nino de Mayo 210?
No, it's Nueve de Mayo.
Yeah, Nueve de Mayo. Yeah. Right, right.
Just took me a little bit of time.
That's all right.
It's the carp. You got to forgive me. I get carp herpes. First thing to go is the ability to speak Spanish.
I believe that's what happened to Al Capone. The ability to speak Spanish and then
you
all this.
One of yours in the hospital. You send one of his to the carp herpes, Mr. Nash.
A strange video recorded in Mexico, and that's where we're going.
This can't be a good story. But it starts off with a strange video captured
in Mexico. I guarantee you, no donkeys in this whatsoever.
How about ping pong balls?
Nope, okay. None of those either. And a stack of quarters is mysteriously missing. A strange video recorded in Mexico has some UFO enthusiasts wondering if the odd object undulating in the footage is, in fact, an unidentified flying creature.
Uh-huh.
The enigmatic film shows a translucent anomaly which resembles a tadpole seemingly swimming in the sky. Oh, sure, I picked this one over the city of Guadalajara.
Uh-huh. You know how to get rid of it?
How's that?
Herpes.
Unidentified flying creature herpes?
Oh, yeah, just shoot carp herpes into the sky, Tim.
I will if you give me enough time and liquor.
God.
As the mystified witnesses watch the scene unfold and discuss it in Spanish, they utter an astonished response.
Ay, ay, ay! What is that?
I don't know that was it.
That was my loose translation. Spanish.
They utter an astonished response that can be understood in any language. Which
ay,
is
caramba!
That too. Some UFO researchers who have seen the footage suggest that it captures the obscure phenomena of living creatures heretofore unknown to science that inhabit the skies and space. Other viewers, however, are more skeptical and argue that the object is merely...
Put your headphones into my cupcake.
Oh, I did? Oh.
And you got your cupcake on my headphones.
Sorry, that's...
Hey, Kool-Aid!
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can never put those on again.
I don't know, right?
I was going to have you put these on.
I don't know why. Am I hearing things I shouldn't?
I don't know.
Okay.
I figured this one was carp herpes free.
Okay, no. Nope.
Oh, my. Here. I think I got it all.
All right, there you go.
I want you to translate this video as soon as I'm done with the story. By the way...
Okay.
Frosting on the cupcake's delicious. I know that... Uh-huh. Your phone has probably been everywhere.
All right.
Other viewers,
you're
however,
end up with hearing aids.
I am going to, aren't I? Other viewers, however, who have seen the video are more skeptical and argue that the object is merely a deflated balloon or plastic bag that has been caught in the wind.
Well, that's a letdown.
Let us now check out the video.
Okay. And you'd like me to translate from the native Mexican language?
If you could, please.
Please, of course.
Yeah, being an expert in language, sure. Here goes. We'll figure it out from there. Is there a little music with this?
Not at all. I hear nothing.
All right. Well, it's coming up here. That's what she said. Here we go.
I think he said, my wife's biscuits edge closer. Those are just three bangs and a knock. It's more bangs and a knock. Not Spanish at all.
Huh. All right. Well, let's abandon ship.
It is weird. What a weird looking...
It is,
It looks like a plastic bag blown in the wind.
It does. It looks like a big shopping bag
all
from your local quickie.
All we are is plastic bags in the wind. It is undulating.
This is great radio, by the way.
It's interesting. Can you put that up on our website?
Sure, I would
all
do
right,
that.
Great.
Yeah,
why don't we do that? At TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, keyword losers. I mean darkness. You'll find that up. Thank God the water is starting to equal out my equilibrium here. Is that right?
Yeah, your delirium.
Yeah,
absolutely.
My delirium.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got more supernatural stories, whether you want them or not, here on Darkness Radio. And we're back, wrapping up another hour of supernatural news. The next 2 hours could be painful for everyone involved. Share. And we're just going to read stories, which is probably the worst idea on a night when we tried to start off with a couple of margaritas.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, Cinco de Nino.
That's 5 to 9.
Is it 5 to 9?
That's why I changed it to Nino de Mayo.
Isn't that Dolly Parton movie?
Working Cinco de Nino.
Cinco de Nino.
That'd be Nino to Cinco anyway, wouldn't it? Nueve. Nueve. That just doesn't run off the tongue.
It'd be Nino de Mayo.
No. Nino is not a word.
No, Nino was a wrestler in WWE.
Nueve.
Nueve.
Let me see. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, cinco, seis.
No, I think you counted one a couple of times. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, cinco, seis.
Is that you two?
Hello, hello.
Yeah, it is. Wow,
it's look a place
at
you. Called Vertigo. Like, I better not quit my night job.
You're
all
like
right.
The Dick Clark of the hipster set.
Pardon me.
I don't know.
All right. What story do you have for us next?
A real life Star Wars, Dave. It could be happening soon.
Let's start Trek. I can't remember the Star Wars theme right now. Sorry.
Wrong show. U.S. Army chief is admitting that soldiers will soon battle little green men just like the toys movies.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. The head of the U.S. Army made a startling, Dave, admission that
startling.
She was in the Silence of the Lambs movies.
Yeah, Clarice Startlin?
Yeah, Startlin.
No.
Yeah. A startling admission that troops will soon be battling hybrid armies and little green men, which has left alien conspiracy online forums doing somersaults, something they haven't done in quite a few years since in mom's basement. Right. General Mark Milli Vanilli. Yes, General Mark Milli Vanilli.
It on the rain. Yeah.
Chief of Staff for the U.S. Army told an audience of cadets in the future they will face the strangely named foes on the battlefield. He said if the world of 1916 was complex or the world of 1945 was complex, the world of 2016 is intensely complex, and I can tell you that because I've been in all three eras.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. He said I could tell you that from personal experience, although if he was born in 1916, he's pretty darn old.
Yeah, I'll see him.
He's 100 years old. You'll be dealing with terrorists, you'll be dealing with hybrid armies, and you'll be dealing with little green men. You'll be dealing with tribes. You're going to be dealing with it all, and you're going to be dealing with it simultaneously, he said. His remarks at Norwich University, the military college, or Norwich, I'm sorry, it's not overseas. It's Norwich here, it's Norwich there. The Military College of Vermont in Northfield, Vermont, has since nearly crashed the online UFO community, who thought it was the first admission from a serving military chief of alien invasions of Earth, which I guess now is an office. Who knows? Commenting on a video clip at the speech posted on YouTube by the Music Memory Lane, that's the name of the user, the self-described ultimate UFO conspiracy cryptid paranormal channel from the Netherlands, one commenter said, I think this guy probably vanished shortly after the speech. It seems like he's let way too much out. Another added, wow, he said a lot. It wasn't a very long speech. Enough said. Truth is coming out slowly but surely. But Alejandro Rojas, radio host for Open Minds Radio, said his choice of words had simply left believers confused and ultimately disappointed. Mr. Rojas wrote for Open Minds TV and said, his statements appear to be shocking. He seems to be telling the cadets that he knows from experience that they will be fighting aliens. And what about hybrid armies? What are those? They sound terrifying. Some UFOers have assumed this to be an admission that armies of aliens and their alien-human hybrids. It's easy to get those.
No, it's not. Yeah, just keep going.
Are threatening the Earth. Those familiar with terminology used in the study of alleged alien abduction know hybrids to be beings that are half alien and half human. This has led to some websites to proclaim that the Army has admitted that they are preparing for battle with aliens. However, both of these are military terms that mean something entirely different. According to Mr. Rojas, he explained that hybrid armies was a reference to the mix of conventional and non-conventional makeup of many enemy forces, such as ISIS and non-state combatants and terrorists that are not part of a recognized state. He added, so what about the little green men? Well, these are the forces that were seen in the Ukraine that are believed to be Russian special forces.
Hmm.
There you go. So maybe it wasn't so much a speech about aliens at all.
There'll be only one way to handle them if they do come here.
Car purpies?
You know this, right?
Yeah. Car purpies.
Oh. This is the way to get rid of Asian carp. In Australia, that is. And if those little green men, those little bastards come here trying to take us over, Tim, yeah. I know what to do. I'm going to unleash my inner Miyagi, which in some states I've been asked not to do again. See, why wouldn't
fingers.
You go to that before starting spreading herpes? Can't we just kung fu it like our elders used to?
An earworm?
Yeah.
That's one way to take them out.
No.
You get their little three-fingered hands snapping to the beat.
From funky Chinatown. They were chopping that bird. Don't let me have control of music, son. You'll be sorry.
No, I like that song. Okay. I was down with it.
I am down with it, Dave. Uh-huh. I like that one. That was a particularly funky selection on your part.
Sure.
We go to our last story here for the evening. Okay. We go to New York City, where we all know that that the app Yelp can be very helpful whenever shopping for services.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, it's took a big carp all over psychics in New York City.
A big carp?
A big carp.
Okay.
I just misplaced two letters there, Dave. You see how I did that? Psychics in New York City are grappling with a new challenge that even their soothsaying predecessors may have not been able to predict. Yelp reviews.
Oh.
Yeah. The popular review website has proven to be a formidable factor for tarot readers and other psychic practitioners who rely heavily on word-of-mouth advertising for their businesses. While some savvy psychics ask their clients to contribute a positive post about them on Yelp, others are battling bad reviews, which call into question their prognostication skills.
You know what they need?
What's that?
A good song.
Oh, that's true.
If you change your mind, take a chance, I'm the first in line.
You said a good song.
Take a chance on me. That's my advertising if I'm a psychic online.
That's the Yelp review?
Go ahead, read your story.
I think we need to take that away from you now, Mr. Schreiner. Well, some... That's really loud. Well, some savvy psychics ask their clients to contribute a positive post about them on Yelp. Others have been battling bad reviews, which call into question their prognostication skills. The changing dynamic between the customer and the psychic may even have an effect on how exactly readings unfold. One psychic explained that she had clients caution her that their reading better be positive or the Yelp review would not be. And while the reviews seem to rely on the customer's interpretation of how the psychic knew their life, there are others that help to alert people to potential chicanery at work. That was very broadcastery of me. Psychics that try to upsell their clients with vague services aimed at eliminating evil spirits have found their schemes exposed on the website by customers who are familiar with the tactic and did not take the bait. Nonetheless, New York psychics point to the long history of the phenomenon of psychic readings and assert that it can survive this new digital age where everyone's a critic.
Yep. That's all I have to give you.
Yep.
Yep. How much time do we have
here? We're done.
Well, that's it. Hold tight. ParaShare comes your way next, whether you want it or not, here on Darkness Radio.
Beyond the darkness,
well, was it everything you hoped for? Was it the hazy memory that came back to you that you thought, oh, it was just as good as the first time? Or was it really something you could have left in the past? That Cinco de Nino, that Margarita Monday, let us know. Hit Dave up or myself up on our email, Dave at Darkness Radio, or Dave at DarknessRadio.com or Tim at DarknessRadio.com. We're kind of anxious to know, was it better the second time around? You can let us know. Let's jump into ParaShare, shall we? The second part of today's Christmas episode, our Christmas encore. Let's get into your emails and your phone calls. The other thing that people are anxious about is they're like, why don't you take phone calls anymore? Well, it's a little difficult with the way that we do podcasting and ParaShare now to do phone calls. But if you do want to do phone calls or you do want to be able to express your story in something other than an email, you can record your story and then send the audio to me at tim@darknessradio.com. We'll play your audio over the air, so to speak. We may edit it a little bit, but we'll do that. If you want to send us an audio file of your story, do that at tim@darknessradio.com. We'll share it that way. This is from the days where we took your phone calls over the air. So here is ParaShare here on Beyond the Darkness.
Good evening. Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio. Darkness Radio is on the air. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Tim Dennis. We're taking your calls tonight. We've also got some of your emails we will try to get to. All right, let's do this. We've got David in Lynchburg, Virginia. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, David. What's your story for us tonight?
Well, it's kind of a story that's been ongoing now for about 10 years.
All right.
I'm part Native American. I really don't understand a lot of the culture. But for the last 10 years, I've been woken up every night by a Native American trying to tell me something using symbolism, which I don't understand.
All right.
And I don't understand why he keeps, you know, waking me up. And to make things worse, he's actually talking to my daughter at night and scaring her.
Okay.
Every night she goes to bed, she'll come back in the living room and sit down and says, I can't sleep. I asked her the next morning what happened, and she told me that the Native American guy was talking to her again.
Hmm.
But he talks to her in a language she cannot understand.
All right. First of all, have you ever considered running an audio recorder to see if you can pick up the voice of the Native American? Because once you get the voice recorded, we might be able to, get that translated for you.
Right.
You know, that might be one way to go. The other thing to do is I would certainly look into your area and what Native American tribes were prevalent in your area at that time. And, you know, start recording any of the symbolism that they're showing you. And if you know it's the Cree or the Navajo or the Sioux or whatever, then what you do is just look up some of these symbols in that relationship and see if that sheds any light on the subject for you.
Right. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, that would be the best thing. Otherwise, sometimes just being upfront and just saying, you're scaring my daughter, you don't have, you know, and I do this at my house. I lay down the law with the spirits, and I always say things like, you know, if you're here and you want to communicate, you communicate to me. You leave my children alone. You don't bother or frighten my children in any way, shape, or form, and my kids aren't bothered.
The Native American man isn't mean at all.
Right.
And what he's showing us, he wants us to see something.
Okay.
And that's the part that's got me wondering what it is, because right before that, I was having dreams of war, and all of a sudden, here he is trying to tell me something when I was ignoring the other ones.
Hmm.
So I'm kind of wondering what he's trying to show me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange. Yeah, just asking for clarification might be the best way to go about doing that. I wish I had a definitive answer for you on that. You know, but asking for clarification, asking for some kind of sign that might be a little bit more recognizable, but start jotting down the symbols that this Native American is giving to you. And yeah, just start doing your research to see what's going on in your area. And and that might be your best way to get some direct, immediate answers. Okay.
That's the advice one of your listeners, Amy, gave me.
Sure.
Yeah, she's a good lady.
All right, good. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you listening.
I just thought I would let y'all know.
Yeah. No, we always love hearing from our listeners. And if you have questions like that, we'll do our best to answer and hopefully point you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for listening. Have a great night. Let's go to the next call. And Dean in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, what did you want to talk about this evening?
Hey.
Hello?
Yeah. How are you, Dave?
Doing good. Doing good, Dean. What did you want to talk about?
A little bit nervous. Just so you know.
But, no problem. I promise not to bite.
Okay, my friend.
All right.
Firstly, let me tell you that I think both you and Tim are some of the greatest orators that I've ever heard, and I really, really appreciate your show.
Well, thank you from both of us. I appreciate that.
The thing I want to throw out, Dave, is why are we always so close? We can almost reach out and touch it, but nobody ever has the hard evidence to back up UFOs, to back up ghosts. You yourself have some stories, but you don't have any evidence of it. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Right. Well, there has been evidence. I mean, there's been some very compelling ghost photographs that have been taken. There have been some very compelling video footage of UFOs. I think the Patterson-Gimlin film, I still believe, is an actual film and footage of a Bigfoot creature. So I think there has been some, but it's so easy for others that are self-proclaimed experts to come forward and dismiss the evidence and try to make their own play. So it's hard to say. I mean, but there's considerable amount of information out there. And, you know, when you've got
former astronauts, Dean, saying, yes, aliens exist, UFOs exist, we've seen them, we've been up there with them. And, you know, some have alluded to it, some have come straight out and said it. So it's really kind of hard to just say that there's really nothing conclusive. It's just, what are we going to accept as conclusive? And, you know, what are we going to accept that the rest of the world will also accept? That's where the, you know, the boundaries start to lie.
Right, right. Now, you bring up a good point. Mm-hmm. There have been some people in the government, very high up, especially Air Force, what have you, that have acknowledged that they've seen something. But again, they have no hard evidence.
Right. Well, and I think there's been evidence, you know, talking to Jesse Marcel Jr., who actually saw and held some of the pieces of the UFO that crashed in Roswell, and hearing from some of the other people. Again, they had the evidence. They saw the evidence. They physically held it. But, you know, the government has its reasons, for whatever reason it is, of sweeping this under the carpet and trying to keep us, you know, kind of hidden and in the dark about all of this. I don't know that we'll ever actually have confirmed evidence that everyone will believe anyway. Because, I mean, look, there are those that believe that we still have not landed on the moon. And there's nothing you can say to convince them that we haven't landed on the moon. But there's evidence up there. You can see the evidence. You can see things like, you know, the moon rover. Isn't that what's still up there, Tim? China and a couple other countries have actually photographed it.
I believe so, yeah.
And you'd think they would love to break us and say, hey, this didn't exist. We were up there. We just videotaped it, or, you know, we flew by, and there's nothing on that planet to prove that you were here, or you know, that on the moon. So I think there's enough people that would want to start screwing with you that that's what would happen.
Gotcha.
You know, it could be wrong, but I just don't think we'll ever, unfortunately, have truly definitive proof of anything that everybody will agree upon as proof, unless we find the Bigfoot body. And then, you know, like the experts say, once we find Bigfoot, he's no longer a mythological or cryptozoological creature. He's just a zoological creature, just like all the other creatures that we discover every year that we didn't know existed or thought was extinct. So, you know, that'll be removed from the realm of the strange and supernatural at that point, unless Bigfoot is able to lift rocks with his mind and, you know, toss them or do other supernatural aspects of it. I don't know how else we're going to see anything that'll change people's mind and perspective. But thank you for calling in, Dino. We appreciate it. Have you had any experiences yourself where you feel that you've seen or experienced something?
You know what, Dave? I if I had the poster that David Duchovny had, I would hang it.
All right.
I want to believe so bad, but no, I haven't had anything.
Well, you can get that poster on Amazon.com there. That'll start you off. Maybe once you look at that enough. And then get out and try to experience some of the stuff, Dean. You know, there's all these great places to visit, and start putting yourself into the history of these locations and talking to people and seeing if something opens up. All right?
You bet, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll dip into some of the emails that we've been collecting now, Tim, if you don't mind.
Sure.
This first one comes from Tim. I sent you a story that you read on air back in 2014, I believe. It was about the surprising find that we had a Native American connection in our family that led me to that discovery. Part of the process was getting in contact with my grandmother's cousin, who had been researching our family's genealogy for most of her life. I got to meet Cousin Lois in December of 2014 when we went to Florida to visit all my transplanted Massachusetts family. We spent an evening looking at family pictures and hearing stories about their hometown. After an hour or so, Lois took me to the other room to show me something. She took a box down off the top of her wardrobe. She started looking through the contents, stopping when she found a locket, and she handed it to me. The picture inside the locket was of a Native American man in headdress. She had said that her grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, had given it to her when she was 8 years old back in 1940. He said it was a picture of our relative. She never questioned him about any more details, and he passed away 8 years later. Lois told me she had heard that I was researching our Native American heritage and wanted me to have the locket. I was very honored, and I thanked her. When I got home, I had the local historical society scan the locket. I showed everyone I could the picture, hoping that someone would help me figure out who he was. No one did. And after a year of looking for answers, I became frustrated and set aside my search. Well, in November of 2015, on the 8th, I was cooking in my kitchen. I had an unusual feeling as I stood at the stove, as if I wasn't alone. I remembered something I needed in my bedroom and left the kitchen to get it. As I stepped through the door, I felt like someone was in front of me. I tried to stop myself so I wouldn't run into them, but I felt like I walked right into whoever it was. I got the impression it was like walking into a cloud, with all the person dispersing like a mist. It was then that I realized I was home alone. That night I went to bed and read until I was ready to sleep. I fell asleep with the light on and then woke up because I felt like someone was staring at me. I opened my eyes to the door of the closet and got the impression that someone was looking at me from the ceiling near the shelf that ran along the back of the closet. Once we made eye contact, she floated up and away. I convinced myself I was imagining things and eventually went back to sleep. The next day on Lois's Facebook page, there was a post from her son saying, "Hang on, we're coming." Then things were very quiet there. It stuck in my head. On Thanksgiving Day, I asked my mom how Lois was doing. She said she hadn't heard anything. She gave her a call and got her daughter on the phone. The daughter apologized that no one had contacted her. Lois had a major system infection due to pneumonia and had been put on a respirator on the 8th. She passed away soon after my mom had called. Now, I felt guilty that I had given up on the search that Lois had started me on. I started looking and looking. In January, I started looking at pictures from a gathering in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where my family is from. They were from the 300th anniversary of the founding of Plymouth. A lot of Native Americans had come to celebrate and demonstrate their way of life. In one picture, I found the man in my locket. The note said, "Passamaquoddy Family, Plymouth, 1921. I found a Passamaquoddy group on Facebook and posted the picture. Another member gave me the man's name. I now know where he's from and where the most likely the connection is in my family. I just wish I had found it while Lois was still with us. There's a part of me, though, that feels like she knows already. Thanks for listening." And that's from Tim Bishop. Very cool. Man, when you're having those kind of deals, I don't know, Tim. You start getting the sense that there's something in your house, and you go and you open up your closet, and mm-hmm. there's somebody on the top shelf staring down at you. You make eye contact, and she floats back up. Do you just go, "Yeah, I got to go to bed now"? Yeah. I'm downstairs, as far away in the furthest corner I can get is where I'd be. Not that I want to be like this big, wimpy chicken, but if there's a woman folded up on my top shelf staring at me and then fades up into the ceiling, Tim— two things need to happen. I need new underwear, and I need to get the hell away from that part of my room.
I think new underwear is definitely a plus for me, but then also my walls would look like a Swiss cheese from shooting it with a shotgun.
What?
Well, you know, you got to get after it. If there's an intruder in your home, you just got to
start shooting. Would your balls look like Swiss cheese then?
Walls. Oh. Walls look like Swiss cheese.
Now you
cheese
can understand
day.
My confusion. You say, "Yeah, you're going to need a change of underwear." And then I thought I heard you say,
because
my balls would look like Swiss cheese.
Second, my walls would look like Swiss cheese.
Your story makes
I'd
much
be
more
shooting
sense.
Shooting them. Yeah. Well, Dave.
And then again, you could understand why my confusion came in.
All right.
It's been a long night, and there's many margaritas that my body's still trying to process.
I guess. I don't know why you're thinking about my Swiss cheese balls over here.
I'm trying not to.
They're wonderful at parties.
All right, here we go. Another story. Got two stories from last Saturday's para hunt in Gettysburg. I'll attempt to keep them brief and concise. Also, I'm typing this on my mobile phone, so I hope my formatting is preserved. Story one, the doll. At the event, there was a table with a number of haunted items on display, including several dolls. As I kept a respectable distance, I looked over the items with caution and some unease. My gaze eventually fell onto a dark-haired porcelain doll in a red dress. Now, I'm not generally afraid of dolls, though I find some creepy, but as I looked upon this particular doll, I could feel the air change. The air seemed darker, and I felt alone with this doll. Sounds around me quieted. My stomach twisted, and my heart dropped into a gripping coldness that still creeps into my chest even as I type this. I felt heavy and physically ill, and it took effort to tear my gaze from this doll. The prayer of St. Michael was on the table, and I quickly and silently recited it. The feeling started to subside, but it wasn't until after I left the building that it fully dissipated. though simply thinking of that doll brings the feeling back. I don't call myself a sensitive, but I don't deny that I exhibit sensitivity. As with anything, I seek an outside opinion from someone with more experience. So what do you think? The doll just felt wrong. I'm unsure of its history, unfortunately, but whatever inhabits it is something I don't want to mess with. Yeah, neither do I. Don't send it my way. I don't want it. Send it to Tim. You can send it right to his home. His address at 10450.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What? Well, whoa. It's just she has his haunted doll that she saw, and I thought she could package it up and send it over to you, Tim.
No.
At your house. Would you rather just, well, give Tim a call and see if you can work out a place for you to send it at his phone number at 612-781.
I'm not trying to give out my phone number either.
Well, no, you don't have to. I'll give it out.
No, no, I don't want you to give out. No.
What?
I don't want you to give out my phone number.
Well, how are people going to contact you to give you their haunted stuff if you won't let me give them your address or your phone number?
Dave, the way they criticize me all the time, by email. Tim@darkmissradio.com.
Do you get a lot of criticism by email?
Well, sometimes.
People love you.
No, not true.
You're cuddly and lovable. Well, you know why? It's because I tell people I love them and you just kind of dismiss it. You're well, like, man, I don't love these people.
I love them, but not in a, I want to get germs from you and get sick kind of way.
No, you know, but do you love them in a herpy carp kind of way?
Well, maybe. Right. I mean, depending on what they look like. Sure, I'm a little shallow.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I'm
you
shallow.
Are very
I'm
shallow.
Very, I'm very shallow. Yeah.
All right. Story two, isolated in the Hoffman Mansion. I really don't know how to answer the other question. You know, if you feel like you've come into contact with something and it was inhabiting you, you were feeling, I mean, obviously you were sensitive to it. That's pretty cool. But now that you've learned that boundary and that's a good place, you were able to break that, read the prayer of St. Michael. It made you feel better and dissipated once you got away from it. I'd just stay away from it. If you know who owned it, you might want to send an email to them. Find out what the heritage and the history of the doll is and explain your situation, because I bet they'd love to have that story for wherever they display it next. Story two, isolated in the Hoffman Mansion. At the end of, or at the event, there were drawings for a number of prizes, including a half hour of isolation in the Hoffman Mansion nearby the Eisenhower Convention Center. As I enjoy entering drawings, I drop my name in the box and, oh, lucky me, I won! So I'm seated in a small, dark room of the large house with cameras trained on me and my brother and the investigator watching outside. After introducing myself, as one should in the presence of company, I asked if anyone would like to speak. Immediately, to the right of my head, I heard a single knock, to which I looked and responded, hello. This knock was unlike the usual cracks and snaps of a settling house, but a distinct rap of a knuckle against wood. It's for Mike. I'm really tapping, but I'm going for that knocking effect. You know what we need in here is a good pair of knockers so I can do these sound effects for people.
I got a great pair of knockers, but that has nothing to do with what you're trying
to
do.
Go there.
I'm just saying.
All right. Yeah. Let's go on. The time passed with seeing wisps of light in pitch blackness, which I had attributed to phosphenes? I don't know what the hell phosphenes are.
Phosphates?
P-H-O-S-P-H-E-N-E-S.
Yeah, it'd be phosphenes.
M-O-U-S-E. Huh. Though they seemed unlike my usual shooting stars and similar visual disturbances. One particular wisp looked like a piece of Kleenex, and I followed its path to where I heard the prior knock. I felt a presence in front of me, and the front of my legs and my hands became ice cold. There was palpable difference in the temperature. The experience culminated with the light brush of a fingertip against my cheek. Oh, hell no. Get out of here. Outside, my brother and the investigator saw numerous apparitions, including a full torso and orbs that corresponded with the wisps and Kleenex ghost I saw. One orb also touched my face. Usually I have to pay extra for that.
Yeah.
When I had entered the room, an adjacent plastic flap was closed. When I was retrieved, it was open, which the investigator closed. I glanced at the camera outside, and it showed the flap open once more. And I was told that the entities wanted to see where I went. A very interesting experience, to be sure. I'd love to do that again. The fact that my brother could watch a live stream in real time validated the activity for him. The end for now. I typed this on my mobile, and I'm hoping my formatting is preserved. Once it makes the jump to your screen, I read it over and fixed any typos that I could catch. Well, thank you, Trocknar. You did a great job. That's the name, Trocknar. I don't know if that's a real name or just the online name, but that's what we've got here. All right. Derek Smith has also sent in a story. Hi, Dave and Tim. This is Dre from Kansas. and I have a story to relay to you about something which happened to me in the forest a few years ago. I never told anyone this story, but listening to your show has inspired me to share. It was the forest around here with a few camping buddies, and we were around the fire just shooting the crap when we saw movement in the tree line. Now, I'm thinking, it's just some deer, of course, nothing bad, right? Well, wrong. We hear a very distinctive sound. Any Kansan or Missourian would know, the sound of a mountain lion. We are not near a mountain, but like near what would be considered a really big hill. It may or may not qualify as a mountain, but the maps don't call it one. We even saw its eyes shining. So immediately, my other friend grabs his gun, and we're prepared to defend ourselves when the mountain lion freezes and hisses, then runs off like something scared it. We then hear something huge moving in the tree line, and when we shined our lights over in that direction, we saw something large and dark. It wasn't fur, but more like some kind of giant shadow. We put the fire out and left our camping gear, ran back to our Jeep, and hightailed it out of there. Now, these guys have it right, Tim.
All right.
Pack up and hit the road.
Well.
Yeah, I'm not staying. I'm not going to collect my gear. I'm going to leave my Transformers tent and my Hello Kitty sleeping bag right there, Tim, and I'm out.
That's a good sleeping bag, Dave. Why would you just give that up?
It's comfy, but I'll find another one at Goodwill, Tim. I'm sure of it.
All right.
Now, we come back to the campsite and everything is trashed. We had this camper and we had all pitched in to get it, and it was turned over on its side and tore up. I mean, the metal was ripped in pieces. And what makes it even crazier, while we were trying to salvage what we could, I swore I saw something huge move in the distance at the base of the hill. But funny thing is, I couldn't make it out. It looked like some kind of black mass of something. Ever since then, I've never been back to that particular forest and will never go back. Have a great evening, you two. Love the show. And that comes from Derek Smith. Well, Derek, shoot me the address of that area, because you won't go out in it again, but Tim will certainly go out into it.
Oh, God,
we'll
yeah.
send him out with a live camera feed and see what he can find.
Sure.
Are you down with that?
I'm with it.
You with it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go all the way out to Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's your story for us
tonight? Hey, well, I'm a local guy with you guys. Spent
okay.
a lot of time with you. Been out to local events.
Great.
Did grocery shopping with Tim.
Yeah, we have. We've gone grocery shopping.
You just go grocery shopping with listeners?
Yeah, random people. Sometimes I'll just hang out at the Cub for hours on end and look for people to shop with.
We'll shop for food?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Cub up there in Blaine. Me and Tim would hug it out, and everyone would look at us and we're weird. But
yeah.
Wow.
That, you
know, he doesn't even hug it out with me.
The Colonel.
He eats at the Colonel.
Well, it's a nice warm hug. So,
okay.
Why don't you give away all my spots?
Yeah.
Just, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Dennis's number is 763.
No, not you too.
Sorry.
All right.
Hey,
yes.
You know, anyhow, so left Blaine, went to Coon Rapids, and I, it's been a while, you know, I got a lot new listeners now. It was actually 4th of July, but it was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, broad daylight.
Mike, are you talking to us on a tin can and a string?
Oh, I was in a different part of my room, and I moved to a...
Thank you.
It's sounding a little better right now.
Much better, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
I was like an echo-type tiled room.
Go for it. What was your story now?
So I was in Blaine, right off County 14, over by that nursery over there.
All right.
I think it's somewhere up by your neighborhood, Dave.
All right.
And it was probably like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It was 4th of July, which is the weirdest thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like crystal clear blue skies, you know. Mm. And I'm out there with my kids, and there's that elementary school over there, and it was closed down for the summer. And they were playing. And I'm looking up in the sky, and I just see this gray disc. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, you know. And I just stand there, and I back then I had a flip phone. You know, it was like 2009. That's when I started listening to you. It was back in 2009.
Okay.
So I tried to take a picture, but I couldn't because it was a flip phone. And I'm watching it, and it's just hovering there in the sky, quietly and everything, right there in the middle of Blaine. I couldn't believe, you know, my kids seen it, everyone else seen it. But probably about 10 minutes later, then it finally flew away. And then I figured out that it's just, you know, they're after you, Dave.
Yeah.
But, hey, here's the other thing is that actually when I did see Tim up there, When did you start hosting Coast to Coast? What year was that?
Well, we just celebrated our third anniversary of doing Coast to Coast this last March.
Okay, so it's only 13.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Dave. Back in 2010 or 11, I'm serious about, you know, shopping with Tim.
Okay.
I seen Tim.
Okay.
And I don't know if I'm psychic or whatever, but I stopped him, and I said, look, you guys, this is, you know, I've been listening to you since 2009, Dave, so I remember all the old comments, all the old stuff.
All right.
And I said, Tim, I have a feeling you guys one day are going to be on Coast to Coast. I believe one day you guys will be bigger than Coast to Coast. I believe one day you guys will take over Coast to Coast, which I'm not trying to, like, push nothing out there because, you know, George has got the show and everything's great. The point is that the fact that, like, you've been on there, consistently for the, you know, every month.
Mm-hmm.
It just, my dreams have come true. You guys have been there, helped me grow, helped me get through a lot of tough times in my life. And I have pictures with both of you and Mally. And I consider, and oh, by the way, Dave, my brother works with your son, Cliff.
Oh, really? So, he's a fireman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, in Minneapolis. My brother's a firefighter right alongside with him.
Very cool.
So I talked about that kind of stuff. The point is that, you know, I literally listen to you guys every day, of course, with podcasts. So, you know, I consider you family, even though you'd recognize me beside my face. The point is that you guys have, you're growing and you're by leaps and bounds, and I'm so proud of you. And keep doing, fighting the fight. And the Army of Darkness is growing, my brother.
Well, thank you. We always appreciate the kind words, and nice to know you.
Watch out for those gray discs, because I literally saw them with my own eyes, and I'm...
Yeah.
No meds.
We will. No meds when you had your experience. Very cool. Thanks a lot, Mike. We appreciate it. So you're just out grocery shopping, huh?
The one prediction I wish Mike wouldn't have made for me was that my foot was damn near going to fall off. I mean, that one was
said?
Wow. Yeah, wow. That was really true. And jinx. Scary accurate.
I, I got to admit, if you meet me out and about when I'm just out somewhere here in the Twin Cities area,
yeah.
Fair warning, I'll be a dick.
Really?
People, I always feel bad about it. I get so shy and embarrassed by it because people will be like, hey, Darkness Radio? And I'm like, yeah. And then I kind of look down and, you know, give a curt smile. It's not because I am a dick. I get so uncomfortable in those situations. I don't know why.
I think maybe that's where we differ, because I have some great conversations with people.
I go to live events. I'm ready.
Yep.
You catch me out at Walgreens when I'm getting like anal suppositories and Hello Kitty Band-Aids. Uh-huh. I get really uncomfortable quick. I don't know why.
I take people shopping, Dave.
Do you?
Obviously. Hey, let's go for a walk and pick up suppositories in the pharmacy.
It's just sharp together. I'm not good at it. Yeah. I get very shy and I always feel bad. I come out and, you know, I was with intern Mini-Me the one night when we were at Walgreens and people recognized me for some reason, which always alarms me because I'm a radio guy. You don't usually get a chance to see me, so how do you know what I look like?
It's probably the big sign on the back of your card that says, I'm Dave from Darkness Radio.
Yeah, there's that. But I mean, like when I'm in Walgreens, mm-hmm. how do you know who I am? Some people recognize the voice, which is a great compliment, but I just get really unnerved quickly.
Really? When,
in these situations. Yeah, I always feel really dumb. So I just kind of, and I walk out. And I leave. So if you encounter me out in public, please don't think I'm a jerk. Just I get shy in those moments. I really do. Especially when I'm caught off guard, you know, and I'm wearing like my weekend sweatpants.
You have weekday sweatpants,
I do.
Do you?
Duh. Or right. I look like an animal. You know, you're just I'm not prepared and I just feel weird. And then, you know, or when somebody starts saying really nice stuff to me about the show, I feel like a little kid who got caught doing something stupid. And I just like,
I should think people would be more unnerved at the fact that you collect sweatpants like dinner jackets.
Yeah,
than,
why?
Then, you know.
It is what it is.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, our live video stream has died again.
Aww.
So, yeah, these people think I'm joking about the crappy quality of our system at the station, but it is what it is.
Here's the flip side of it. You don't mind the camera and being on live. I have an issue with it for some reason.
People are so mad. They think they're always like, why do you always show the camera? Why don't you ever let Tim get on camera?
I'm doing a bunch of stuff here, and I probably would look disinterested if you put a camera on me.
Sure.
Because I'm doing things all the time.
You look disinterested anyway.
Well, I am, but you know, I don't want to reveal that on air. I think I just did, but yeah.
All right. I got to do a bit of bragging real quick, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
Went to my son, Nathan, is graduating high school this year, and went to his award ceremony. They did the scholarship award ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
And it was pretty cool. You know, they go up at the beginning, they're like, we're very excited to do this tonight. They're going to be giving out, I think it was almost $400,000 in scholarships.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
And the first one to get called up is my son.
Oh.
Very proud. 3.9 GPA.
Jeez.
Gets called up by major somebody or other. I can't remember his name, and I feel bad about it. But he gets called up on stage, and they present him with a $187,000 scholarship.
At which point you said, Daddy needs a loan.
No, no. Oh. His schooling is paid for all 4 years because of his academic work, because of his sportsmanship and leadership abilities. I couldn't be more proud.
Oh,
what
yeah.
an amazing yeah. $187,000 they're paying for his entire college career.
Now, think about that.
Amazing.
College never costs that much when we went to college.
No. Well, they're taking care of housing, food, and that. Yeah, it's great. So I couldn't be more proud of my son. I'm just totally in awe of him and the work that he does. So I congratulate him for that work.
Yeah, good job, buddy.
Great stuff. And, hey, we missed it, but happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Well, there's many of you.
Technically,
a lot of mothers.
First time we've been on air where we could say it.
Right.
Yeah, because Coast to Coast doesn't believe in Mother's Day. I don't know.
I said it on Coast to Coast both nights.
Yeah,
I was making sure of it.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's get back to it. We got some calls in here. We got Corey in North Dakota. You're on the air, Corey.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
The call that you had earlier from, I believe it was David that was calling about the native spirit.
Yes.
And then the email that you read actually inspired me to tell my story about that same situation.
Okay.
I had, very, very early, I was attempting to figure out what my genealogy was.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew based on what my family members kind of looked like, and it was kind of stereotypical, but it seemed to be kind of, you know, you sort of know. When something just, like, you know when someone is something, you're like, I should probably look into that.
Yeah.
And so I would ask my grandfather, and I would say, well, what are we? And he'd say, well, I knew my grandparents when they were French. Okay, but what else? You know, you're not just 100% something else, you know? And so by the age of eight, I started having these really strange dreams. And they were always natives in my dreams. They were always reaching out to me, always trying to say something, but I couldn't quite grasp what they were getting at. And then one day I had another one, and this man in a full headdress appeared in a mirror in this dream, and I stood in front of him, and I said, well, now you need to tell me what you want. Who are you? And he said, don't worry about it. You'll find out for yourself very soon. And about a year later, I was able to find his Native American ancestry.
Very cool. So, I would have automatically, as paranoid as I am, when somebody from the other realm says, I'll see you very soon, I would have been in panic mode thinking I'm going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But just the way that he said, you know, you're going to find out soon was more like, it's not that you're going to die, it's that you're going to come across those answers. So that made me think maybe his situation, maybe it's not someone from his area,
right?
But maybe it's one of his ancestors that's trying to reach out to him because he doesn't understand who he is or he doesn't understand the culture, and they're trying to say, here I am.
Yeah, very well
but
could be.
Maybe that's... the guy couldn't speak, you know, English back in his time, so now he still can't. So he's trying to translate to that guy in his language, hoping that maybe something will come through in the dream that will make him go, oh, light bulb clicks on, and maybe, you know, now he can go out and find him. Maybe that'll help him with, you know, looking into his own heritage and seeing what he can find.
Those
maybe
are great ideas.
Trying to tell him.
Completely. Thank you very much, Corey.
Yeah.
You have a great.
And congrats to your son. That
Thank
is
you.
Quite an accomplishment.
Yes, I'm quite proud of him. I mean, the 3.9 grade point average, and he's a great jock. He's played in every sport under the sun at there, and he's in track.
Yeah. My sister just graduated from college, and she was honored at their ceremony just Friday for having a 4.0 GPA and managing to graduate college, and she's a single parent. So she does that and still manages to accomplish a 4.0 in college. It's very impressive, and it's something that's definitely huge and just honorable. And
I think if you add up all my GPAs, it would come to a 4.0 over like 8 years. each about a half a GPA.
Well, I'm impressed you pulled a 2. I mean, that was
pretty impressive. Yeah. Crazy stuff. Thank you for listening and calling in, Corey.
Sure.
Have a great night. Let's go, John in Inver Grove Heights. You're on the air.
You know, they've been talking about in Europe and the Kerries, and you don't want to disturb the Kerry Mountains and stuff. Well, in 1967, I was in Germany, and Mannheim, Germany. And there was a beer fest. It was going to be in Ludwigshafen, and it was across the Rhine River. And a friend of mine and I, we decided we're going to go over there. And as we're approaching the bridge, this little old woman was selling these white flowers, just sickening smelling, just really sweet white flowers. She said, "You got to have these flowers or the troll's going to get you." And, well, you know, we didn't believe in trolls. And she wanted 1 German mark for the flowers, and that was about 25 cents. And Smitty and I both had 5 mark coins, you know, $1.25. We gave her the 5 marks and told her, you know, we didn't need the flowers. You know, just, you know, wanted to give her the money. We didn't want to be cheap. Well, she kind of fell back in her chair and just turned white. And she says, "No, you've got to have the flowers. The troll is going to get you if you don't do that." And she really, really, really looked like she believed in those trolls.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So did you end up taking the flower and pay for it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we gave her the 5 marks. It would be $1.25. And you know, nothing is a quarter, you know, even in those days. So
right.
5 mark coins with us. It's just easy that way.
Very cool. Well, trolls, I mean, I know there's still some of that going on around out there in Europe, the fairies, trolls, and different creatures like that, and they firmly believe in it. Iceland specifically does that, and Ireland, too, when we were out and about.
Yeah.
All right.
So can I say something about the moon landing, too?
About what?
The moon landing.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, people are saying there's no moon landing and stuff, and you hear the stories of, first moon landing, I actually recorded the audio of that landing, and it was well over 4 hours. I was afraid of running out of tape, and I was doing the sports speed, and it didn't seem like anything put on. Then the next moon landing, the second one, they put a reflector on the moon, and the reflector is to reflect the laser back. But on a certain day, and they told you what the day would be, it was on the news, you could see the sun glint off that reflector around noon. And I went out there and I watched, and I saw the sun glint off that reflector. After that, they put on 2 more reflectors up there, and these other reflectors aren't flat like regular. They're a shape where you can't, if you hit it, it's got to reflect back to the earth.
Right.
And I saw a program, maybe a year ago on TV. They took a laser, and you can't use just your pocket laser. You need a high-power laser. And you measure the distance to the moon by shooting a laser at this reflector and measuring how much time it takes to get there and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was that. And then the other thing is talk about the stuff being shot on the soundstage that was phony.
Right, that's what they said, sure.
Well, back in the early 70s, they had, they called TV movies. I don't know if you're aware of them. But
oh, yeah, of course.
They're cheaply made movies for television. Well, they made one about the moon landing, and it was a TV movie. And, of course, that was shot on the soundstage.
Well, right, that was. But I think there was another one. Capricorn 1, I think, was a movie that was filmed about faking a moon landing.
Well, Capricorn 1 was a fictitious movie.
Right, but it was supposedly kind of them, it was kind of somebody taking a shot at the fact that they believe that the moon landing was all hoaxed and faked.
Right.
Now, you said you've got the audio from that. Do you remember there's been a lot of controversy that during that first lunar landing, they make comments about things that they see up there. And did you notice any of that, anything that sounded alien in nature with the way they were referring to it?
No, what I recorded, and of course this is off TV, this is nothing, I'm a ham radio operator, but I didn't catch this directly, I wasn't ham back then. This was after the lander had separated from the command module, and it was just a descent, and that took over 4 hours, and they were very, very busy. You could have landed a spacecraft in front of the front window, and they would have noticed they were so busy. So they sure weren't looking out windows, if that's what you're getting at.
All right. Well, thank you for listening in, John, and giving us a call tonight.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Take care. All right. Kind of cool. Wrapping up for the evening. Good evening, Dave and Tempting Tim. How about that?
Well.
Let's see. About 4 years ago, my husband took a drive to the Owatonna Orphanage, a delightful place to visit. As we drove up there, there was an elder woman standing in a small window on the third floor. I thought nothing of it except for a man cleaning from an event after the course of the day. We toured the little dorm-type rooms and then the museum portion of it. While walking through it, it just made me sad that they had no time to play. Just then, a huge poster flew off the wall. It flew across the hallway and landed at my feet. The poster talked all about the toys they had. I felt a presence while there. I for sure will go back again. It was such a beautiful place. Thanks to you all. And that comes from Deanna Hoffmeister. Well, that's about it tonight, I think. We're pretty much up against the top of the hour.
Yeah.
We've come down from our Margaritaville. I feel remarkably well, though.
Yeah.
I was getting a little worried, yeah, in first hour. Three margaritas in an hour when I hadn't eaten dinner and was not prepared for that, Tim.
I feel remorse, regret, and sort of guilt.
So
I don't know what
much
that's
like
all about.
Like every day of your
life.
Yeah,
it is.
I got that.
Yeah, it's Monday.
Well, maybe if you just, on the way home, stop at a grocery store and shop with some stranger since you don't want to shop with me.
Yeah. You've never asked. True. You've never shown up at the Cub and been like, hey, let's go grocery shopping.
All I have to say to you, sir, is whatever.
I do it quite often. Huh?
Whatever. You just go willy-nilly grocery shopping with people, huh?
Sometimes I'll sign people up at the bank for a free account, too.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Something to do.
You try to sell them on that or what?
No, it's just a little service I like to provide people.
Tomorrow, we've got Matthew William Phelps, One Breath Away, the hiccup girl from Media Darling to Convicted Killer, and then Diane Emerson joins us, Psychopaths in Our Lives, My Interviews. And then Mark Anthony, The Light of Quantum Consciousness on Wednesday. That's what we have in store for you over the next few days. Tim will take over the reins Thursday and Friday as I will be out at the Belvoir Winery, the Odd Fellows Asylum in Liberty, Missouri. For Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, thank you for tuning in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.
So there you have it, another encore presentation of Beyond the Darkness, something to kind of spruce up your Christmas a little bit, a little Cinco de Nino. A little Margarita Monday and an episode of Parashare to kind of brighten up your Christmas day. We hope we brought a smile to your face on the special day and brought a little something extra to you on the holiday. Another encore presentation tomorrow. We'll kind of leave it a surprise. We'll put it that way for tomorrow. Today's episode of Beyond the Darkness was brought to you by TrueCar. Our friends at TrueCar, of course, a great sponsor. Be sure to check them out and be sure to check them out if you're looking for a new or gently used car. TrueCar, of course, a great sponsor and a great friend to Beyond the Darkness. For Dave Schrader, I'm Tim Dennis. Join us again tomorrow for the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.